Crippled System, episode 117. My name is Andy.
Well, you're not going to say welcome that time?
No, nope, I'm not. I'm just...
Welcome to Crippled System! My name is Brian.
My name is Nathan. And welcome? Do we say welcome afterwards then?
My name is Slim Shady. Welcome. That's how the song goes, right?
Yeah, Mom Spaghetti. My name is Mom Spaghetti.
Mom Spaghetti?
I'm on your shirt already.
What?
M&M.
Oh.
M&M.
Skittles.
This makes no sense whatsoever.
There's vomit on his shirt already. Mom Spaghetti.
I don't understand what you're talking about. You can confuse
It's over
me.
Now. Yep. It's over, pal. No, right. Nothing. 8 Mile.
No.
Eddie Murphy.
No. Oh, no. No. I'd never watch 8 Mile.
No, but the song. Come on. Lose Yourself.
Never watched 8 Mile. Never heard it.
I've never seen in the movie, but the song's a good song.
The song is like, yeah, I'm gonna go rock the place now. It's like ba-bump, ba-bump. That's the actual beat. Ba-bump, ba-bump.
I just like the Mom Spaghetti remix version.
I have not heard that.
Not heard it as well. And I've not heard anything by any remake, parody. I don't necessarily like Eminem.
It's a good song. Well, even if you don't like Eminem. Yeah, I really like Eminem for a couple reasons. Number one, some of his music's okay. Lose Yourself is a good, you know, pump it up song. And I like him because he was in an interview or something, He was in an interview, and the lady was talking about how his music, as you know, he swears and he talks about all the standard hip hop stuff. You know,
sure.
Like, you should not listen to your average hip hop song if you are under, 16 or whatever. And so the interviewee is trying to really paint him as a bad person. She's talking about, bad influence on kids and stuff like this. And, how can you as a parent let your daughter listen to, the music you do? And he's like, I don't. I don't let my daughter listen to my songs because my songs aren't appropriate for a child. When she's 18, she can buy my albums because they're M-rated and listen to them as an adult. But right now she's 12. I don't let her listen to my music because I'm a goddamn parent. And it's like, shut up, bitch.
All right, that's cool.
Yeah.
And I'm Brian.
Spaghetti.
Brian's not paying attention. He's just paging through the new Reckoning book that I brought back from Lock and Load.
I'm looking at the pictures.
Do we have any announcements?
There are things coming up. June 20th is the next six-pack event. 50 points. June 20th.
Hooray!
That's the important date. Be there at 9:30. Start at 10. 5 rounds of craziness. Many gazillions of prizes for everyone to have.
So many prizes.
So many prizes.
Tons of prizes.
All of them.
Every prize.
All the prizes.
I don't know.
July 11th is still Who's the Boss?
Who is the boss?
Tony Danza.
No.
Was it?
I don't remember.
Who did Abed prove was the boss?
It's Angela.
It was Angela?
Angela is completely the boss. Yeah,
Angela's the boss, without a doubt.
He could not solve the Nicolas Cage equation, though.
No, he could not. That broke him.
What?
It's a community thing.
Yeah.
Because one season, a guy is a class who's a boss, and he figures it out, and he has a
It's literally
theory.
A class. The whole, sure. It's a whole actual thing. That's a whole year-long class. And
the professor has spent, 15 years teaching it, and the whole idea is you never actually know. He proves it's Angela, so the professor, quits. And then the next time, the professor is like, Nicolas Cage, is he great or is he...
Terrible.
Terrible.
Is he the greatest actor or the worst actor?
And it breaks a bed. He can't figure it out. The teacher's like, don't think about it too much. And I was like, challenge accepted. Yeah.
Oh, it's great. As his attempted presentation, he flips out in the most flawless Nicolas Cage freak out I've ever seen outside of Nicolas Cage. And it's great.
I haven't watched, Community, the new season Community is on Yahoo, which I've watched a couple episodes. It's cool. I watch it on my iPad a lot, and I've been watching it on my iPad, but my PS4 doesn't have a Yahoo app, so I can't watch it on my PS4. Because I sometimes always watch. I don't mind watching stuff on my iPad, but when I have no choice but to watch on my iPad, I don't want to watch it. Like, if I can watch it on the TV.
Right.
I watch it on my iPad. So the fact that I can't watch it on my TV, I don't want to watch it on my iPad.
You're just offended by the fact that it's your only choice.
Yeah. And it's completely illogical because I watch...
It's kind of like having sex with your girlfriend.
I watch a huge percentage of shows on my phone.
Percentage of what? Of sex with girlfriend.
On my phone.
That too.
Yeah. Yes. My name is Brian.
I kind of agree with that.
I watch way too much television on my computer because I'm too lazy to get up and go to the couch and watch it on my TV. Like, I'll be using the same streaming services, and I could have it on the TV, but I'm already sitting at the computer.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it involves Hulu, I don't use it.
I know. You hate Hulu.
I do.
And I watch probably 20 hours of Hulu weeks and weeks.
Yeah. All Raylene and I do is watch Hulu.
Who's that? You just flipped me off.
I did. My mustache needs to be trimmed, but I'm out of AA batteries.
I don't know why that's funny. Or I'm trying to... Yeah.
That was funny or sad.
I have one AA battery left, and it's at like 1% health. It's barely operating, and it's in my nose hair trimmer.
Oh.
I decided that trimming my nose hair this morning was more important than trimming my mustache.
I'm going to agree. I saw you yesterday.
There's a guy I work with whose nose hair is longer than Andy's beard, and it just sticks out in every direction, and it oftentimes has dried things in it. And I don't know how you politely tell somebody like that they need to shove a weed whacker in their nostrils.
Just let her know. It's a you.
Just start plucking them. Said her. You're assuming it's her. Yeah.
Just as a gift, just buy him one. They're like $5.
Yeah. Just anonymously leave it in his locker.
Yeah. It's like a tweezers.
Well,
just pull.
When it's at that level, you won't go beyond the tweezers, I think.
Yeah, no, he literally could just headbutt a weed whacker. That's what he needs to do.
That happens.
A snort a weed whacker.
Yes.
So what did you do last this past weekend, Andy?
It's not going to be really too awesome to people. Cause...
United tweeted you.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they responded to your tweet, United did.
Oh, really?
Did you not see that? You were too angry to check the tweet?
I was pretty fucking pissed off.
Yeah, they responded. They're like, what can we do to help?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how about get more people at your goddamn station so I can make my flight? So here's what happened. So I'm flying out of Madison, Wisconsin, over to Seattle. And my flight is leaving at 5:40 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
Granted, I do get there a little bit later. So I get there about like 5 to 5, you know. It's 40 minutes before my flight actually leaves. It's on a Wednesday morning. It's super early. I get up to the counter. I have to check a bag because that's just how it is. So I'm going to be paying my $25 to check a fucking bag. The kiosk that I went to, one of the automated kiosks, wasn't working, so I had to wait in line. Turns out the customer service guy that was up at the counter was dealing with a guy who had a temporary passport, and the guy at the counter had no idea what to do with it. So we sat there for 20 minutes. Finally, that guy gets dealt with, and then I get up there, and he's like, it's too late, you can't get on.
Sure.
So I end up sitting around for 3 hours in Madison Airport. I finally get on my plane. That plane then is delayed for another hour.
The missing the flight because of the line thing happened to me and my first wife when we went on our delayed honeymoon. They call it a baby moon. Like, if you don't have a honeymoon and then you find out you're pregnant, you're like, well, this is our last chance. And so, whatever. And so we were in line and we got to the front. They're like, too late. And our connecting flight was in O'Hare. So yep. I just drove to O'Hare at like 115 miles an hour in time for our connecting flight.
That would have been potentially possible. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, because
the delay, like once it landed, like obviously I didn't drive faster than the plane, but even though the plane went right there,
I was so fast.
Even though, you know, the plane took like an hour to get there, you know, whatever to get there, and then they were just sitting there on the tarmac for 3 hours before the connecting flight left. So yeah, I just raced to get to the connecting flight and we made it in time.
That would have been
a fun drive. You weren't swearing at all. No,
I didn't. I invented so much new profanity.
I can believe it.
That was much more interesting. So then I was stuck on the tarmac, and they actually let us deboard the plane, which I've never been on there before. So then we end up reboarding back on, flying out. I was supposed to land in Denver at, I don't know, like noon or 12 or 2, or I can't remember what it was, but I only had 15 minutes before the other plane took off.
Sure.
So I luckily was able to run all the way across the entire Denver airport because it was
Denver is a straight line. Yeah, Denver's a long airport.
Yeah, so I ran all the way across there and actually made it into the flight. And as I'm finally sitting down, the captain comes on and said, oh, we're going to delay our flight for a few minutes. We have some people with some tight connections who need to come and make the flight. I'm like, son of a bitch!
Could have told me that before I ran here.
So, yeah, then I ended up landing. I hung out with... went over to Lock and Load. This is still Wednesday. Met with Dallas Kemp, who is a painter, an amazing painter. If any of you have paid attention to the closing ceremonies, he's the one who won best single miniature. He had an Eris 1 painted that was on top of a card.
Yeah.
Did you see it at all?
I saw it. Was it the one like under the tree or whatever? Yep. And, yeah, I saw that one.
It had a card. It basically, out of the little circle in the card is actually where all the growth appeared. So there was like a tree, and then she was walking on there. It was a really, really, really nice model. He won that, and he also won Best in Show, basically, nice. For that, for Master Craftsman. Hung out with him. We went out to the Mox Boarding House, which is the restaurant / game store. I've seen a lot more of it appearing. It's kind of newer. Mm-hmm. Had a couple beers there. The store is pretty neat. It's, you know, just game store. I did have a $17 hamburger.
That's a little thing.
Yeah. It was a
welcome to Seattle.
Yeah. It was a welcome to Seattle. Found out it was like bacon was like $5 onto it. Because I just had all I had was just a plain bacon cheeseburger and some fries.
Fries and a drink? Or
no drink.
So a bacon cheeseburger and fries was $17.
Yes.
So it looks a little much. But, you know, you can if you imagine there was a shake there. And you imagine eating the shake, then it's not that bad of a price. It's still overpriced if that imaginary shake was good.
It was just way too expensive for a cheeseburger. And it was not a good cheeseburger either. It was, I mean, it was at least it was handmade, but they kind of
shit.
Yeah. I do like handmade burgers better for some odd reason, but
yeah, I mean the quality's all that matters. Like it's, I don't care if it's done by hand or by machine or whatever. It's the final product.
Correct.
You know?
Correct.
And so if you do a nice handmade and you put all the effort into it and it tastes mediocre, you know, go fuck yourself.
I would have much rather had a Denny's cheeseburger.
Yeah.
You know, for like the $7, they're really good.
They actually are pretty good for their price.
And again, it's the Little Caesars theorem. Like, it's not good pizza, but it's really good for $5 pizza.
I would even say the Denny's pizzas are the Denny's pizza.
Denny's got pizza?
The burgers. Their burgers, even, yeah. But I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
For the price, it's ahead. I think they're ahead of the curve.
Yep. Then after that, basically hung out with Charlie for the rest of the day.
Charles Foster III.
Yep. And that, I don't really remember much on Thursday.
Okay.
Or on there. Then on the actual invitational, went there. It was the PG Invitational. Went there. I started an Unbound game, which I unfortunately had to cut short early.
Because you had to leave for your flight on Sunday?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I had to cut short early because I hung out with Andy Padel.
Sure.
He works over at Nintendo. And last year, he had offered a bunch of the Muse guys a chance to go see the Nintendo headquarters.
Yeah, I see your Nintendo visitors pass on our table here.
Yes. So yeah, he offered the Muse guys to come visit the Nintendo headquarters. And unfortunately, Lance couldn't make it last year. And I was there when he said, Lance, we're going. And he's like, you should come too. And I'm like, okay. I went to the Nintendo headquarters during the Invitational.
Nice.
I got to see... No,
did you meet Mario?
I didn't meet Mario. It's he wasn't me, there.
Mario.
He is my second favorite Mario brother.
I'm a Mario.
Luigi is the best.
Luigi is by far the best Mario brother. As a kid, I used to... Well, number one, I grew up playing Luigi because I was the younger brother.
Yes.
And then so it got to the point like when I played single player, I would start a two-player game and then just kill off Mario and just play as Luigi.
I always called him Loogie.
Loogie. He's green.
I'm a Loogie. Loogie.
When I was much, much younger.
I like the big Nintendo campaign they had last year where it was the year of Luigi.
Yes. Yeah.
And they just, you know, he's our main character. He's our mascot. It's all Luigi this year.
Yeah. That didn't last long.
Lasted about a year.
Yep. So then we ate at their restaurant. Their restaurant is, it's their cafeteria, but it's like a full-blown restaurant. Like, they have... What are you doing? You're
Brian's manhandling his toys.
That's my toys.
Were they able to tell you whether Metroid's gun is part of his arm or not?
Didn't ask.
Oh, you really should have asked.
You were literally the one place.
Oh my fucking god!
Why did you not ask that? Just on the tour, just straight face, like, can I, like, you know, is Metroid's arm part of his suit or is it built into his or gun?
I will text Andy right now.
Okay, there you go. Just say, by the way.
But I'm leaving you with nothing to talk about.
That's fine.
So I went to the store there, went to the cafeteria. It's all consolidated because I had to pack it.
Context. Phrasing. Are we not doing phrasing anymore?
Nope. On their restaurant, I think they missed their calling. They have a thing there called the Mario Burger.
Yeah.
What would you expect on the Mario Burger?
The burger.
It should have dinosaur flesh and turtle meat.
Portobello mushrooms.
Mushrooms.
It should be a mushroom burger. The Mario Burger should be a mushroom burger.
Sure.
I think too many people don't like mushrooms, though. So, I mean, you're right. But I think maybe they had it that way. And everyone's like, I want a Mario Burger without the mushrooms.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to say.
But, like, also, a big portobello mushrooms, though, are...
Like, instead of the beef?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have their veggie burger. So, the issue is that those are terrible.
Oh. I've never had them. I just know that they're available.
I had one once, and it was terrible.
I wouldn't mind trying it once.
Yeah.
How about a truffle?
It has far too little meat. It's the problem. Also, the mushrooms in Super Mario Brothers are psychedelic shrooms. That's what they're based off of.
Yeah.
It would change the...
That's why he, like, grows and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So then I went to the store, and they had some really cool things there. They have all the amiibos that you would want if you're looking at those. They're, like, the little statue things.
Yeah.
That react with the DS and that. There's so many things I wanted to buy there. I ended up buying a plushie chomp.
Sure.
Which, you know, why wouldn't you want a plushie chomp? I don't have a water container, but I got the best water container in the world now.
Oh, it's a Bullet Bill?
Bullet Bill water container. So, I use that pretty much all weekend.
Nice.
I know, like...
Stay hydrated.
It's my one step closer to being more like a hipster. Because it seems like hipsters always have the water bottles with them.
That's because they're all like health conscious. Yeah, you have a water bottle. You're interested in portobello burgers. You're in Seattle. You're a goddamn hipster.
Yep. God damn it!
I guess I'm changed.
Yeah,
from you got one trip.
You got the beard.
It's not an ironic beard though.
Yeah, well,
this is a lazy beard.
Yes.
That's going to be the new ironic beard though.
And then I got.
It's going to turn.
You got a Majora's Mask DS. That is super sexy. Is that just a cover? Or is that an actual... That's the inside of a DS.
I was just showing how ridiculously huge the screens are in that.
Those are the XL ones, yeah. Those are the
This is the new Super Nintendo DS. Which is weird. Why you can call it something else other than new Nintendo 3DS XL.
Well,
that's the actual title. It's new.
Yeah.
But eventually, there's going to be another version of it out. It's not going to be called the new, but this one will always be called the new one.
The next one will be
the newer.
The newer? The newest.
Well, it's like when I was complaining that I went to Penzi's and they had jars of fresh ground pepper. Like, it was ground pepper, and the jar said fresh ground pepper.
Oh.
It's like, for how fucking long?
Oh. Yeah.
Like, if I take it home, like, 6 months from now, am I legally required to scratch off the word fresh on the label? Do they send somebody out?
It probably fades.
That's possible.
The ink that's on my pass there, the little red thing there?
Yeah.
That was a sticker that went onto it, so they only have a pass that allows it to be around for 24 hours.
And then it faded?
Oh, no, then it goes into that red.
Yeah. Yeah, so okay, so maybe the fresh ground pepper, once it's not fresh anymore, it fades out.
Yeah, your big thing of pepper is magically evaporates.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah.
Well, just the fresh part of it.
Though. Yeah, it's still ground pepper.
No, the pepper vanishes. It's either fresh or it vanishes.
It's both. Then the ink says empty jar.
Yeah, just, it's gone. You're done.
So then I came back and I played a couple pickup games. I think I only played one game in Iron Arena. Then I sat in line and I bought a bunch of stuff.
You didn't buy me anything.
No. There was nothing for either of my factions. Nothing for your factions there. I thought about that on the way back. I'm going, I should have brought Nathan some. No, I
couldn't. Those cups sold out fast.
Those cups were insane. Yeah.
I heard that they all sold out except they had tons of Rhett ones left.
No, on the picture I took, there was only three Rhett.
Oh, okay.
So it made it, I guess I made it seem like that was all Rhett cups. Signar ones sold out fairly quick.
They're the most popular faction still, in general. Like, they're the faction they sell the most of everything. I don't get it because everyone you talk to says nobody cares about Signar.
Well, when you read this model called the Hurricane, you're like, why wouldn't I want two of these things?
Yeah.
This book really says fuck you to flying things.
Did you like to fly? Not anymore.
Hurricane says fuck you. Victor says fuck you.
Yeah, that book is amazing. But
we're not talking about the book yet. We're listening to your thrilling stories.
They're not really that thrilling.
Have something thrilling happen next.
It's like 3 a.m. We should hurry up.
What happened next? Was it exciting?
What happened next? Next day it was...
Did you play any actual tournaments?
I played Masters.
Yeah?
I assembled Thyron, and I decided to play the Rons, as I call them, because it's Ron and Thyron. Ha. Huh?
What?
It's a perfect response to what I said. my first round opponent was against Paul. The last name escapes me. Took on Gatsby 2. Turns out Thyron's cleave on his jacks, pretty fucking amazing. Models that explode into flames by pretty much all of my jacks because I had Imperatus and I had a Phoenix.
Yeah.
My list basically, I posted it on Twitter. It was Imperatus, Phoenix, and Moros was my basic battle group. And my Stormfall Archers just basically just murdered a bunch of the Bile Thralls, so he couldn't really do anything with them. In fact, the whole game, he never excarnated. He only purged on me once. And it wasn't even a necessary purge. He actually hit a couple of his things, too, for his witches. So, yeah, I felt I did that well with that. I got really lucky at the very end. He killed off all my jacks. I killed a ton of his troops. He had maybe 5 models left. He feeded Gatsby into Imperatus, and Imperatus still needing 7s to hit for most of them.
Yeah.
Did not roll many 7s.
Sure.
Killed Imperatus, Phoenix Protocol popped up. Finally, the 10th guy actually hit and just damaged my shield then at that time. So Imperatus is there. He's ready to go. He goes flying after Gatsby. Not after Gatsby, after Darth Wraith, who's near Gatsby, hit him, killed him, popped over... Sidestep to Gatsby, 4 attacks into him. I did need 8s, so I just chose to hard roll him because he was full health.
Sure.
I probably should have boosted, but...
Well, if you hit, then it was the right choice not to boost, obviously.
Correct. I didn't hit him on all 4 of his remaining attacks.
You did or did not? You missed all of them?
All of them. So
you just told me you got lucky. Oh, the Imperatus.
No, I got lucky that Imperatus didn't just get murdered.
Gotcha.
He should have just destroyed Imperatus.
All right. So
so after that was done, it was a fun game. It was really, really good game. I then decided, I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna go do other things. So I dropped out.
Oh, well, you didn't tell me. Did you end up losing then?
I lost. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Because then it came basically then... Thyron was in range of other people to charge him and take care of him.
I was in trouble, you know, because what was left. All right, fine. So you went and did something else.
Yep, just went and did other things. Just played Iron Arena, went out having food with other folks. That was the rest of the day of Friday.
Oh my God, we're still on Friday?
Yeah.
Saturday.
Saturday, didn't do much.
Sunday.
Sunday. Sunday, I was involved in 2 things. Saturday night, I didn't get back to Charles's house until 3:30 in the morning, and then I had to spend an hour packing because I had to throw everything into a bag, and then we had to be at the convention hall at 9 o'clock.
That was that.
That's
Warden.
New what? Oh. Oh, I see. What?
The Cephalics are in the book.
Oh, but it's the same old stuff?
Yeah.
Oh.
They
why?
They just, I guess they just decided to put it in the book.
Why?
They haven't needed a book.
They don't have their own book.
What?
They had a Forces of Distinction, which was just an online only.
Oh, that was online only? Okay. Yeah. Okay, never mind then. Okay, go on.
Continue.
So you packed.
So I packed, and then we went to the convention hall. I was really grumpy because I had no sleep. And as I was there, I got invited in to do the Undercity.
Yeah. I watched stream. A little of that.
Yeah.
I watched a guy countercharge and roll trip ones.
Yes. our troll, I think it was Nika?
I don't know.
But yeah, our troll, he was very, he closed the door, which was good. But overall, that game is, I was on the live stream for that. So if you guys want to watch it, it'll be on Privateer's YouTube. It's over on Twitch right now in their past broadcasts. It is a really fun game. At least I feel it is. It's not like Shadows of Brimstone or even like Descent. It's more of, for me, it seems like it's just a scenario board. And then you just, as your players, you have to just negotiate that scenario. And depending on what you do in it, you'll gain experience, et cetera, et cetera.
But the board is fixed. It's not room tiles or?
It's fixed for the scenario, in a sense, yeah. But it's not like you're traveling into different parts of the Undercity. It's basically you are here.
The map itself, I mean, is it a cardboard rectangle or is it tiles that are assembled?
It's a cardboard rectangle that you put tiles on.
Tiles.
Continue. No, I don't know what you mean.
Hero Quest. There's a fucking rectangle, and you play on that rectangle, and it is what it is what it is.
Yes.
Other games, the rooms are different. Each scenario, like...
What?
You can rebuild it. It's got tiles that you can set onto there, so you have different rooms in there.
Sure. Okay. So it's modular, but it's modular, but it's not like Descent or something where it builds out into different shapes and whatnot.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Yes. Like if you leave, like if you're thinking about it, like if you would have left like the board, then you add more tiles out.
Right.
No, it's just a fixed rectangle. Yeah. With modular parts in that rectangle. But yeah, it's really more of just negotiating the scenario or the kind of the storyline. You have like optional quests over on the sides that you can go pick up. It seems pretty cool. It is very intuitive if you're a War Machine Hordes player. I liked it, so cool. I'll probably be picking it up and trying to get people to play it.
If it comes out in October, you'll have difficulties.
It'll probably be at
I'll Gen be Con. Busy with Conan.
Now, this is a year where Conan is going to ship in October, and I've done a lot more Kickstarters than you. That means that it's going to ship. It takes typically 4 to 6 weeks to ship these things. So based on the system, you may not see that until late November.
This one promised to be... Listen, you.
I'm just saying, when they say shipping in a month, that can be...
Yeah,
if they're on time, it can be still 4 to 6 weeks.
I'm very optimistic that they will actually ship in October.
Well, even
I know the 4 to 6 weeks to actually get it, but...
Yeah.
Part of that is like if they say ship in October, you shouldn't expect them to ship until next March with Kickstarters. But this one, from all the signs and other people that are experiencing Kickstarters, I think they usually do about
20%. A lot of Kickstarters can do about 15 to 20% a week of their orders based on how much they had. It's a little Kickstarter shenanigan ish.
See there that Star Realms, the epic card game by the people who did Star Realms. It's a new Kickstarter.
There's the big thing about DriveStream brought us Borderlands. They have some kind of new game come out. Got announced today.
Uwe Boll's Kickstarter failed miserably, and he was angry about it.
Who's did?
Uwe Boll.
Oh.
His Kickstarter failed, and he yelled at the internet.
No. Well, I mean, you've been yelling at the internet for how long, and now you're asking the internet for help?
So I get this whole box is mine?
No, it's not yours.
So this is mine?
No, it's not yours.
Yay, stuff for us.
So later on Sunday, I got involved with they're doing like Iron Expeditions or something like that, where they're kind of showing off Iron Arena games.
Yeah.
Mainly because Privateer has the policy where they're not going to broadcast unpainted models. And so, and they don't want to have that be a requirement for Masters.
Right.
So they're
Which makes sense.
Yeah. It just means they're just not going to broadcast it for their general events, their hosted events. Right. So they had those. I was originally supposed to be in the second round, taking on Plumber, but the guy that was in the first round, he backed out or something. So I got to take on Mike from Georgia with Protectorate versus my Retribution, which was a nice... playing
Theron again?
I couldn't because he wasn't painted.
Oh,
so I was playing
right.
The Ron.
Why didn't you paint him?
No, I didn't have to.
Saw somebody playing with the new Haley already painted up.
Well, that was Plumber.
Yeah. What? No, it wasn't. Well, it wasn't Plumber playing it. No. I saw somebody play at, was it?
One of the extra tournaments?
Some of the people that have painted up a Haley.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I forget who
but,
it was.
But, so that's actually available over on Twitch as well. And eventually YouTube's.
I had a massive reward offered for whoever would have got me a Purple Xerxes. You all failed me, so no one gets a special prize.
What's a special prize?
It was amazing, and now they don't get it.
Oh.
You could have gotten it.
No, I couldn't have. Basically, people were walking up to me asking me if I wanted to trade, and everybody wanted my little chibi Laris and Kaya. And I'm like, no.
Just give me some of Texas.
I have one of those. I don't trade away chibis.
You don't. They're amazing. Yeah. All of them are.
I got the chibi Hawk and Shay. That one's good, too.
I did pick up Hawk and Shay as well.
Yeah.
Oh, they're in my pocket, I think. Well, I got some
I was so angry
prints.
At Adepticon because I didn't give a shit about these pins at all. Like, I just do not care about those pins. It's stupid and whatever. I mean, who the fuck cares?
Now you care.
Well... I did not care, and then I was just, like, talking to Plumber and Aggle at the booth or whatever, and then I left, and I had spent $85 on pins.
So I got a bunch of pins.
You're like, what happened?
Yeah, it was like a truck had hit me and stolen all my money and left 45 pounds of tin around my
You're
neck.
You're like, I have a pin now.
Yes, I had a lot of pins at that point. Yep, Chibi Hawk and Shay.
I got a Chibi Maylock as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he's cute. Oh, that's what it fucking was! Oh, it was Aaron and, what is his wife's name? Shoot, I feel terrible. Anyway, she wanted the Chibi Maylock, so I was ninja shopping.
Oh.
Yeah. And some, yeah. It's like ninja shopping for heroin for somebody. Like, they're like, I need a gram of heroin, and you can only get it in 10 grams. And they're like, well, I got all these extra 9 grams of heroin, and
might as well
now
try.
I'm addicted to heroin.
Yeah. So, I got you this, Brian.
What's this?
Oh,
I got cool. You Scornflakes.
Is it a Purple Xerxes?
No, but it's a Scornflakes.
Scornflakes. Well, that's adorable.
It is adorable. I did get something else that I found really, really awesome.
Syphilis?
Nope.
Okay.
No. I did get a bunch of Chibi Harpies. I did a whole bunch of ninja shopping for Chibi Harpies.
Cute.
They are really awesome. They actually sold out on the online store. So, like, everybody and their mother, like, told me, hey, I need Chibi Harpies. But anyway, as I was walking around on Sunday, the final day, I walked up to Simon Berman and Matt Wilson. They were watching the live stream, and I glanced over their lanyards. I'm like, oh, you guys don't have anything I want. And then Matt Wilson goes into his pocket, and he hands me the alternate painted Chibi Scar.
Oh.
What is it?
Cute.
Chibi Scar.
Okay.
Which is like... It's one of the harder ones to pick up. Ah. So, yeah, I ended up getting that, which is awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then I got this for you.
What's this?
Oh, my God.
It's just, he's taunting me all day. Purple Xerxes!
Purple Xerxes!
Purple Xerxes! Don't touch it!
I'm going to swallow it.
I'm
you would get it back.
I'm going in for it. I'm not waiting for it to come out. Oh, thank you. That's very exciting.
So, what was his special prize?
I got him. Fine, figure that out now. I don't know.
That was a bluff.
No, I posted. I made a Mad Max one. I said I'll escort you to the gates of Valhalla.
Well, I thought you
were going out the window right now.
I thought you'd be a little bit more like upset that I got the scar.
Yeah,
because like you know, Chibi scar
is pretty. I didn't know there was a rare Chibi scar.
Yeah,
see, I knew there was a rare Xerxes. Like you said, there was this rare scar, and I'm like, well, I didn't know that existed a minute ago. So no. I didn't have okay. time to absorb the fact it was.
I was waiting for you to start
laying out some vitriol towards me.
Let's go back in time. Yeah. Why do you have a scar, JB? You son of a bitch.
By the way, I got you this.
Oh, I'm happy now.
And scene.
We're like actors.
Good
now.
Job, everybody. Good job. Good job.
That was actually a scene from Entourage, the movie.
Yeah, so and about as many people give a shit.
Well, it's funny. So me and a bunch of people want to go see Entourage.
Oh no!
And well, I bet Jim would go, and John Acker wanted to go, and someone else I know. And we asked Nathan, "Hey, he want to go see Entourage with us?" And he's like. He just looked at us. He didn't even respond. He's like, he didn't know how we were trolling you or what was going on.
It was the same as if they'd be like, hey, we're really excited to go see that FIFA movie. Like, jeez. You want to go see that?
Yeah.
It made $600.
There was one person. Did you see the John Oliver thing?
No.
They also talked about that, too, because Seth Blatter just got
retired. Well, I saw
this
thing from a couple weeks ago when he was talking about it. Yeah, not since. Okay, yeah.
But, he had that. And it was... While they were filming, there was only one guy who came up to see it, and he was like, "Am I the only person seeing this?" Like, "Yep, you are."
Yeah,
the guy looks so happy in the Scorn Flakes. He's like, "I'm so happy to have my."
I like
scorn
that
flakes.
His spoon has spikes.
Yeah, it's a spork.
Oh, it is a spork. I didn't even realize
it's that. A skork.
Yeah, it's a skork. That's probably more true. It's more pointy than a fork or a spork.
I have something to show
the
you.
The Nork
as well.
From Clone High.
Which I took a picture. I didn't post it. I should.
Clone High reference out of nowhere.
He's purple. He's Xerxes.
Did you guys like my selfies that I took?
Yeah, I was like, I saw one. I'm like, I saw another one. I'm like, what's happening here?
The one of you joining the Undercity, somebody was saying that needs to be a meme.
There you go.
That's it. Oh, I saw someone that's the new upcoming one that's coming out there. Yeah, someone else did post that online. The Crix.
Okay. Crix are for Trids?
This is Crix.
Soul Grain.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Hooray for your adventures.
Yep, that was my adventures. Ended with Purple Xerxes.
And then you came home, the end.
Yep.
And me and Nathan played a lot of board games.
We did.
That was our weekend.
We played a shitload of Zombicide on Saturday, and it went well. We won all
three games. Most of them were very, very close and intense.
Yeah, and the, like two of them were on Super Hard Road. One of them, the third game we played, is a hospital, and coming down a hallway like five spaces long just directly towards the one door we were behind was at least 100 zombies.
Yeah.
Like, no exaggeration. Brian Molotov cocktailed the closest zone, and his guy gained 33 experience from that Molotov cocktail. Yeah.
It was intense. We played three players, each controlling two, which actually worked out really well for the game. Because that way, because sometimes you play Zombicide and one character just kind of is derpy. Because you just kind of, there's always a character when you play that just doesn't have any luck. And everyone else has like seven guns. So when you're playing two, your odds you're going to have someone good is pretty well. And we had all the experiences.
And it also made it so, I mean, I think it's a co-op game and people understand co-op, but if somebody has to die, even though it's just a figure, like, you don't want to volunteer your guy because you're kind of emotionally invested that your guy's going to survive till the end of this game.
Yeah.
And when you're out, you're out.
When you're out, you're out, you know? And even if it's close to the end of the game, but if it's early, that's even worse. Like, if it's in the first 20 minutes of the game and somebody has to die, it's like, well, I guess I'll just go jerk off in a corner for an hour now because my guy's dead. Mm-hmm. But with two characters, you know, you can get one of your guys killed and then you still have a character. So it was definitely a cool way to play it.
Yeah, and we did it for like, it was like 12 hours of Zombicide, and then Saturday was a bunch of variety of games. We played The Thing, which is neat, and we played some Terra Mystica.
Yeah.
And some other game, Sorrow.
Nice. We didn't play Sorrow.
Did we?
No, we just played The Thing and then Terra Mystica.
I played Sorrow on Sunday with myself in the bathroom.
I don't think that's Sorrow.
Oh, I get that confused.
No, we played Terra Mystica with the expansion, and I had the good fortune. See, last time we played, I played the Fakirs, who are really bad.
Which still are the bottom race in the game.
They still are the bottom race. And so this time, we randomly selected. There were two new players, and I had let them pick their guys first, and then I had the stack, and I had Carlos pick number 1 through 8, and he said 7, so I dug down to the 7th one, and I said, Michael, top or bottom? He said top. And so I did the top race on the card, and it was the Acolytes, who are the second worst faction in the game.
Because when you look at the average scores of games, you have like three factions who average above 130. you have about 8 factions who average about 120, and then you have like 3 guys who are a couple points lower than like him and the fakirs and his race, like around 110.
Yeah.
So there's just like
this bell curve of a whole bunch of guys around 120, and then just these outliers. And man, I have played nothing but the outliers like the last 4 games of Terra Mystica. And then Jeremy, of course, got the new broken hotness one that scores, you know, 135 on average.
Yeah, he had the race that scores like the second most points in the game.
No.
He didn't know that when he played it. He literally took it randomly.
Neither of us knew.
Yeah,
it wasn't he didn't know it, but now can you never live it down?
Oh, well, he's the best. He won. High fives. Hooray for him.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, my race, in addition to them being bad, I didn't. With a new race, even the good races, it takes a while to figure out the path to being good with them. You know, it's like if you get a fish, you need to learn that they don't fly. You know, so I did not learn the path to victory for these guys. So their average score is really bad, about, you know, 110 or whatever. And I scored a solid 67.
Which is actually pretty hard to score that low.
The lowest score I've ever seen in Terra Mystica.
I think I've seen people close to that before, but I don't know.
People have played it 20 times?
I swear at a convention at the end of the weekend, someone had a worse score once. I think one time, but you're definitely, of our group of people, the worst.
That was really terrible. It was hilariously terrible.
I can't think who the person. I know there's a person I know scored worse, but it was a convention. I can't think of their name. I think I blocked it out. But they were really sad. It was hilarious.
Yeah, awesome. That sounds like you guys had a decent weekend too.
Well, I mean, I'm being trolled the entire weekend by Keith Hooks, because I mean you have Lock and Load going on, which is exciting fun. You guys are, you know, you're there and the spoilers coming out. Thursday was great because, you know, obviously everyone's on Twitter. We'll talk about that in a minute, but the spoilers are hitting the web. If you love board games, Origins, which is probably the biggest, well, one of the biggest board game conventions.
It's probably the biggest convention that's focused on board games.
Board Game Geek is a pretty big con down in Texas, but it's not as new. So Origins is probably more bigger.
Yeah. And there's also and then there's Proto Spiel.
Yeah.
But Proto Spiel is a different beast altogether.
Origins is more for everything.
You can Greek to me.
I'm speaking German to you. Proto Spiel.
Yeah. But that's also not in America.
It is not. Although I went to something like Proto Spiel in Chicago with a game designer friend.
But Origins was both Euro games and American games, and I think so he's there, and I was supposed to go there. I actually canceled because my work was too intense, which is really the dumbest thing to cancel anything for. But it's the first time in like 11 years I did that for work, so fuck it. But he's tagging me in every single picture going on at the con, so I have to murder him at Gen Con. Which is kind of funny. Like, he knows that I know I'm going to murder him. So it's like this weird, like, is it completely my fault when I'm from the judge? I'm like, judge, I told him 3 months ago I was going to kill him, and he walked into
Am I
a murderer, or is it suicide?
Are you the beast that in It Follows?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. But I mean,
he's going to follow Keith.
Yeah. But the exception is I'm only going to kill him at Gen Con. So, I mean, he literally has to be at the exact spot at these exact days. If he doesn't go there at those times, he lives. So it's like, it's even like a more very specialized version of it.
It's a serial killer with convenient scale, Julian.
Yeah, exactly. So he avoids Gen Con, he lives. He goes to Gen Con, he dies.
That seems fair to me. Now, Essen's the big one. No.
Yeah,
Proto Spiel is like, it's weird because it's almost like E3 in a way, because it's like designers go there with like, either not necessarily prototypes, but early release versions of their games, and they play each other's games and stuff, which is kind of cool. But yeah, no, Essen is the gigantic I knew that you were thinking of that one, but I couldn't remember the name of it. Yeah. Turns out the name's Essen.
Essen House?
Delicious.
So what time is it? Should we talk about spoilers a little?
Let's go through. We'll give gut instincts. We don't need to go deep in.
Yeah, we're not. Yeah, because everyone's deep. No. If you're listening to this podcast and you're like, oh, there's spoilers out, and you're going to tell us. I mean, if that's the beginning, your source of information for, really expand your horizon.
We are not going to tell you anything about them per se. Like, I'm not going to go spell by spell and shit. But I want to know what the three of us think about these models/units.
Quick question.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I actually had to think of what it was. Metroid's gun is part of the suit or the arm?
Is Metroid's gun part of his suit or is it his arm? Because you need to get the name wrong and the gender wrong.
All right.
It is important. You can't just, if you say it half-assed, you get annoyed. Yeah. But to get both.
Yeah.
Is part of the suit or part of his arm?
Does someone have that as a shirt yet? Because that really needs to be a shirt. Because I mean, walk through a convention, and you just that way you're offending people you don't even know. You just know someone over there is mad.
If I had an amazing Samus Aran cosplay costume, yeah. I would slap a "Hi, my name is Metroid" sticker onto it and just wear it to conventions. Because I think that would be great.
I would have a little baby Metroid like following me. I would have like a little like bar going off my back with it just like hanging up there.
Did you see the cupcakes that Jay Larson had?
No.
Somebody made him Grumpy Cat cupcakes.
Oh, yes.
But the picture was taken so that they were all upside down. And for like 15 minutes, I thought they were Metroid cupcakes. Because if you go look at that picture, they look exactly like Metroids. And so I was just like, why would someone make Metroid cupcakes? And somebody mentioned Grumpy Cat because that's his icon. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah.
That guy loves Grumpy Cat. Isn't that wrong?
But which I mean, that made sense. Yeah. Like making Jay Larson Grumpy Cat cupcakes makes perfect sense. Yep. I didn't get the Metroid cupcakes.
Yeah, that would have confused me too.
Yeah.
So we could also talk about the two casters from the...
Well, we can do the same thing to them.
Hordes Box 2.
Well, we can do that first. So we got those two, and we got the Croak Raiders. By the way, the Croak Raiders don't work for Blind Water, which is hilarious.
People still don't... That's one thing that's information from this podcast.
That's cause... two books in a row that have a minion model that doesn't work for minions.
Luckily,
as a minions player, fuck you. I don't get why they don't work for Blind Water.
Well, because they're amazing.
They work for Trollbloods.
They work for every Hordes faction except for minions.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I bet someone's going,
what the fuck?
Because they didn't know that. They probably have like 8 lists they've made up and they already got planned out with their Jaga Jaga.
These are yours.
They finally gave the Cephalix to mercenaries after years of being the one merc model mercs couldn't run.
Correct.
So now they're doing it to minions.
Yep.
You know, someone's laughing in the back. Like, ha ha. All right. So where were we starting? Well, Croak Hunters, you just pull them out. They're amazing.
They are amazing.
Scorn's going to love them. Legion's going to love them. A lot of factions are going to love the fuck out of Croak
Both Hunters. Their guns are AoEs?
Croak Raiders. You know, that's actually a good question. Well, I thought
good. We'll get it up. So they.
The Flaming Dart is not an AoE.
But the oil
is an AoE.
Oil is an AoE.
And the interesting thing is that the oil, and the reason why Scorn's going to love them. In one word, tell me why Scorn's going to love them.
Incendiary?
There you go.
And I'm sorry.
Incendiary. Because that oil as a setup for other things that do fire is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, that's why trolls will like them with those new fire eaters that everybody likes.
Yep.
Circle doesn't have a lot of fire attacks. Their battle engine does fire, but I think that's about it. Oh. Hey, the Gremlin swarmed.
Yeah, I got them too.
I didn't even see those get spoiled.
Yeah, they're spoiled. Yeah, they were in the book. Wait, no. What
the mischief thing I saw get spoiled, but nothing else about them.
I didn't see them get spoiled either in the web.
Yeah. So we can spoil the Gremlin Swarm.
There you go.
We're a source of new information.
Yep.
Well, at least for us.
Hooray.
we're a source for us.
Nathan, make sure you read the first line in the back.
So there are now 3 minion models.
Who do they work
for? That work for literally every Hordes faction except for minions.
Do they work for any War Machine factions?
No. They do not.
Okay.
So they're War Machine hate, but they don't work for War Machine. So yeah, a little ghostly guys. They're
how many points?
Point cost 2.
How many you get for them?
Just 1.
All right.
Just looks like.
2 points for one model? Okay.
2 points for one model. Stealth and incorporeal. They have apparition. They're man-sized. I don't know what size the model is itself, but they have the man-sized rules, so they obviously aren't a small base model. And they have the mischief thing that was spoiled as part of the league, where if they're base-to-base with a jack, the jack randomly suffers disruption -2 speed or -5 range. And then they have star action sabotage, where they do D3 plus 3. It's like grievous wounds. It can't be repaired, and it's D3 plus 3 damage, and they get to choose the column.
What's their speed?
Speed is 6.
That's intriguing.
So, but, you know, because that attack is a star action and not an attack, star attack, they can't do it on a charge. So they have to advance 6 inches to be able to do the sabotage.
Well, the mischief
but they can
is what
run
you want.
And, yeah, they can run and do mischief. And if they live, which given that they're incorporeal, they're incorporeal and stealth, so they are likely to live, then you can start sabotaging shit.
It's intriguing.
And, like, the jack walks away. If the jack's disrupted, it can't run away, which means you can just walk back up to it, sabotage, and mischief again.
Gotcha, yeah.
We got an answer from Andy already.
Yeah?
Yep.
Is it an angry answer?
Nope, it's not an angry answer. He says here, no, this is quote.
Yeah.
Quote.
Go fuck yourself.
Nope. Nope. Actually, his name is Kraid, and his gun is called Metroid.
Okay, this guy's great.
Don't feel bad. It's a common misconception.
The main character of Metroid is named... You know what? I will agree that the main character of Metroid is named Kraid. I was always a big Kraid fan. Maybe it's like the Luigi thing, too. Between him and Ridley...
I like Ridley.
I mean, Ridley's the villain, you know, and everything like that. But Super Metroid, with that fight with Kraid starts, and he's big, like, that's an epic moment. Like, I even remember before Super Metroid came out, they ran commercials for it in movie theaters. Before, like, I saw a commercial for Super Metroid as a trailer in front of Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
And that shot of him coming up and being gigantic, like, as a kid, you know, you're used to Nintendo, and you see that, you're like, oh my god, like, video gaming has reached a new plateau.
Because that was never seen before, or something like that, where it's just huge.
Yeah.
Yep. I'll show you something huge.
I did pick up the
disappointment.
I did pick up the special Brute Thrall as well.
Cool.
Yeah. Nice. So I went online shopping, and after 4 hours, I got the stuff I wanted, and then which was like two items.
What'd you get?
I got the Hordes edition and the Signar box.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Assuming that last year, I know when people shop, After the next day, they started sending emails saying, well, actually, you didn't get it because we sold out before it got to you. Like, the system screwed up. So until I get my hands on them, I don't truly believe I have it.
One thing to mention, though, too, if you got the Horde's 10th anniversary box, there was a mispack in it. Chromac is missing, like, one of his horns in the back, like one of his back spines. It's just a sad missed back. Contact Privateer about it. They'll get you a new one.
Like 100% of them are like that, or it's just common? Yep. It's 100%.
100%.
Oh, okay.
All right. Hey, consistency. All right.
Yeah, I mean, that's something.
So where else are we going to
So Chromac, through? Speaking of Chromac.
Yep, there he is.
I think he's baller as fuck.
Got a there good go. Feat. His attack is ridiculous. He's very strong.
Yeah, I mean, POW 17, like, Life Drinker plus Heart Eater plus, Heart Eater plus having Fury means that he's going to attack 1.5 million times every turn.
He's going to hurt. So, yeah, he's pretty cool. I think he's pretty neat. I think he's going to be effective.
Yeah, and 14-18, you know, 14-20 on his feet turn, he might actually be able to be like the Butcher of Hordes and get in there and actually attack stuff. You know, that's the issue with Warlocks. They can't camp for armor. So even with the transfer mechanic, they can't afford to just wade into shit. You know, you're never going to be like a Terminus where you can just be in the middle of a zone and say, come at me, bro, and laugh off all attacks.
Yeah, and the only way you could is if you're immune to, like, grievous wounds.
Yeah. And so he wants to be up there being melee and just murdering everything. And so it'd be worth seeing whether he can afford to. And if he can, it'll be cool. If he can't, he's not going to see play.
Yeah. Yeah, I think people.
I think he'll be a fun caster to play, at least. People will enjoy playing him, and I think he'll have a good mid tier level potential at the very worst.
Yeah.
Then there was Ryas and Saren, which some people like, some people hate. I think if you think of him as like Saren plus a UA, you think of it as like Saren 3 with a escort of Ryas. Like
Ryas is her companion.
Yeah, she loses her Grievous Wound darts, though. She actually has a staff now.
But she gains a Reach Weapon Master Bodyguard who wrecks shit.
Correct.
And she gains stealth if her Reach Weapon Master Bodyguard spends one of the 12 Fury that they have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. You definitely can't play them like you can't play them like you were playing Ryas. Obviously, you can't. You have to like rethink how they are because really, it's Ryas is almost a super solo or super part of the unit, but she's still obviously with Fury to do.
There's
some
an
stuff.
Interesting way that you could do this where you could have Ryas and Saren charge up and do things. Ryas could do all of her things that she's normally doing. You could have Saren cast one of her, I think it's an AoE spell, to potentially kill Ryas.
Yeah.
Then Saren pops her feet. Pops Ryas, places her. Ryas is still technically not done with her. She's done with her combat action, but she can still cast spells.
Her feet brings all the fury back?
Correct.
Yeah.
And then she'd be able to then use Flashing Blade, take out more things. So
interesting.
It's
very aggressive, but in a case where it's necessary, or especially if like you are going for the assassination, you know, Ryas can do 6 attacks and then get 5 more.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that is potential. Yeah, there's definitely some things there. I think a lot of people are going to die horribly playing these two. I think it's a high skill caster.
Official judge ruling, as with the Witch Coven, they cannot each independently dominate two different scenario zones.
Correct, correct. Well, I think they're a caster unit.
Correct, but nothing about dominate mentions units needing to both be in the same zone or anything like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think she's cool. I think it's a high. I think because there's easy button casters and there's hard casters. I think this is a hard caster to play, but I think she's not awful. I think she's just hard.
And she's very different.
You have to play her differently.
They also definitely bring it. It unfortunately means they can't do the stealth on themselves, so you have to play them differently than that. But Onslaught also is an upkeep spell, and that grants Pathfinder to every model charging. And that's there's a lot of. As anybody who listened to the Drunken Legion podcast know, Jeremy says all their infantry is trash because they're not Pathfinder. Mm-hmm. And so this fixes that. So,
they stay back, deliver the army, then they move forward themselves right. After that if everything's engaged.
And it's only within 10 inches of Rias, but since she's the expendable solo, basically, yeah. She can be 8 inches in front of Saren, granting it to all the other army around them.
So do you know what the new favorite new spell that came out at Lock and Load?
It is Onslaught. It's Onslaught. Casters.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all over the fucking place.
Yep. Yeah.
Better than fucking dispelling magic everywhere.
Yeah.
Yep. Or
it was nice having it as a unique spell, but no, they had to give it to everybody else.
All right. So that's right. We have to, we are going too slow.
All right. Haley 3.
I think she's cool. The incorporeal elements are neat.
The only thing she has going against her is she's not Haley 2.
True. I think she's going to be really good and aggressive, and you're not going to hate playing against it.
Yeah, like she actually might be a Haley that's fun to play against.
She has insane assassination vectors.
And interesting to play with.
Did you see her on the table at all?
I didn't see her on the table. Like I said, I was actually going to play against Plumber with her. Or not with her, but against Plumber's version of her. But I haven't really seen her at all. She seems interesting. It doesn't seem like incredibly broken. You're paging through right now.
Yeah, I was going to go on to the next one whenever we were done talking about her.
Yeah, she seems cool.
I'm excited to have a Haley that is fun for the person playing her and also fun to play against because we haven't had those yet.
Yeah.
Even the good ones seem just boring. Dynamo, he's been out for a while. Hooray for Dynamo. Ace
is kind of he's a Kane's Light. He gives the ability to shoot through more Colossals, basically, because he has Terran's ability. It was just... kind of neat. And a lot of times, Kane players are like, well, I just took some generic... that's nice. And he has the special edition thing there.
Yeah.
A lot of times, Kane... They want Terran, but they don't have points for her. And a lot of times, Kane players don't really want to take a big jack. So I think that'll fit the one jack roll pretty well.
Uh-huh.
Use it... one thing I really like about this book is the surprises. There are so many things in this book that you just didn't realize were even in the making. Like, Ace... who the fuck is that?
Yeah.
I was like, boom, there's a jack.
Yeah, unless you read the novels about him, you didn't really know much about him.
Oh, true.
Yeah, because it's pretty much Ace, and like John Acker was like, oh my god, they made Ace into a thing? I'm like, who the fuck is Ace?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's cool. And because he has the Shadowfire Terrence ability, but he also has Magic Bullet on his gun instead, if you'd rather.
Instead of the armor piercing
he
gun.
He picks.
Yep. Yeah, you get to pick either the Shadowfire, the Magic Bullet, or the Thunderbolt.
Yeah.
So those are cool.
So he's got all rune shots.
With Kane.
Sweet. His affinity with Kane is that he has rune shots, and his three options are Thunderbolt, Magic Bullet. They call it Trick Shot, but it's the spell Magic Bullet, basically.
Sure.
Or the Shadowfire. And he's got a mini feat where him and his base Warcaster are stealth. Yep. Like, that's good. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The Trench Buster. Oh, also official ruling. because he has flank trencher and he's a trencher, he does not give flank to himself.
Aww. He's 3 points, which is a little disappointing to me. I really wish his rules would have been like, if you take this, I think he should cost 1 point, and his rule was all trencher units are 1 point less. But that's what I mean. He's got some aggressive abilities. I mean, if you like trenchers, he sure is a trencher.
Yeah, he doesn't give anything to trenchers.
No, he's just an expensive. He's just an expensive trencher.
Well, so he's a normal price trencher.
I know. Like, I don't know. I don't understand. I mean, I don't get the trencher price buff. I mean, someone hasn't figured out trenchers because obviously Preventure Press is very concerned about their prices being sold, being what they are.
Yeah, trenchers are just expensive.
Yep.
Hurricane's pretty garbage.
Yeah, worst Colossal, don't get it.
Actually, I don't have any flying models. Fuck it, go ahead and play Hurricane. I don't care.
No, those fucking guns are ridiculous. Push those things back at his. That thing, it's a goddamn monster.
It's one of the first things that you'll see the Trencher Master Gunner come out for. Because those AoE guns on there, if you have +2 to hit.
Because it's AoEs, so you actually can get the Trench. Hey, something for them. A Trencher to do something, that's exciting.
Well, Trencher Master Gunner is amazing anyway. I
the fact that he was in Bad Seeds was, I can use him on on Mules was amazing.
But the Hurricane's pretty slick.
Well, the push guns aren't AoEs.
No, but yeah. the other but guns
he also
are.
Has, yeah.
He's got two nice AoE guns.
But he doesn't shoot out storm pods.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, as somebody playing against
him. He's also cheaper than a Stormwall, if I remember correctly.
Well, he's 18, yeah.
I think 19 is Stormwall. Yeah, it might be 19, Stormwall.
Yeah. The Colossals in this book are all pretty much less expensive, I think.
Less expensive, and I think they're all... I don't think there's really a one.
No. Well, according to you, there isn't a bad model in the book, and we haven't gotten to the model I think is bad yet, so far we're all agreeing. All right. Durst.
Maze Ball. I was staring at him a while. I'm like, I want to play Menoth to play him.
Right? Yeah, he is.
And that's not good. I don't have time to play other faction, but I want him.
The complete lack of a once per turn on the ability of his feet is really scary.
Yeah,
his entire army is invincible for a turn, basically.
As long as you have a Jack alive.
Yeah, yeah.
And he has all these buffs that make his stuff better anyway, so he just constantly supers his army up. He's in the front lines just coming at you. He's like, come at me, bro.
Yep. Turns, I don't know if I can say it. I won't talk about it.
What? Okay.
I wasn't sure if it's something I could talk about.
Pierre or Mike Pierre. Is it Pierre?
Pierre,
yeah. I knew I was saying it wrong. He got to the semifinals of Masters with that guy after the only weekend of playing him.
Yeah, no, yep. He's
pretty solid. I think I could talk about this. I think the original design for him was to be a small base model. So basically be kind of like Villamon.
Yeah.
And then eventually just how all the artwork and that ended up, he just ended up becoming a medium based.
Yeah. Makes sense.
It doesn't make sense why he's a, like super speed, was he speed six?
Five.
Speed five.
So
yeah.
he's medium base speed.
Yeah. No. I think he's got some fun spells.
Are they five?
Well, oh, I mean, what do you expect him to be, six or four?
Never mind.
Yeah. He gives Pathfinder to Menoth Jax. That's important.
Yep.
Yeah, one of them, but still.
That's still
really good.
The one you need.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Because that's...
He's awesome. I love the two new
Templar. A Templar is going to fucking love him. And then they got the new Jack shenanigans.
Yeah, their new Jacks are definitely good. The Purifier, that's a sexy little five-point Jack.
You're just near it, you're on fire, right?
If he advances base to base with an enemy model, then you're on fire. So he runs up to you and sets you on fire. He doesn't have combustion, which is interesting, but the chain attack combustion.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, for 5 points, combustion would be too good.
It would be too good. But it's interesting, the chain attack combustion, because he needs a tough target he can hit three times, but then he wants gentle targets around him to die from those three hits.
Yeah.
No, he's only got two attacks.
Right, but the chain attack, you have to attack a third time and hit. It says if the additional attack hits.
Oh,
so
then
as with all chain attacks, you attack, you get a free attack. And this free attack, instead of damaging, if he hits, then combustion triggers.
Okay.
So it isn't hit twice, then trigger. You have to hit that third time. Which you're going to be mat 8 because of the choir. Because
of the choir.
It's not like you're going to miss your third attack.
Yeah.
That just makes it so you can actually go and attack like a Jack that's sitting in the middle of a bunch of troops and just watching.
Or if there's troops around their objective or something, you just go smack, smack, smack.
So he's pretty cool. And the other Jack is Fiora's special Jack, which is his more fire.
Yeah.
Crazy flamethrower.
Yeah, I didn't even look at this.
Is he a 10, a range of 10, 8 or 8 or 10?
It's a spray 8.
All right,
spray 8, pal 14, fire all over your butts.
And boosted something with Fiona.
Yeah.
Yep, boosted damage from being around him, plus 2 to damage
boosted
for fire.
While in Fiora's control area, gains boosted ranged attack rolls. He's more accurate around Fiora.
Correct.
So it's a boost. Yeah, that's sexy.
He also can charge things that are on fire for free.
Mm-hmm. Yep. If you're near him, you take the plus 2 from fire.
Yep.
And fire damage rolls, just like with the fire eaters, isn't just the continuous effect. So if you're within 5 inches of him and he sprays you with his gun, it's a pow 16.
Yeah,
that's sexy.
Yeah.
No, that ridiculous thing.
And they've got a colossal. Well, there's a 19 pointer. See, some
that thing is insane.
Well, you know. Maybe.
It completely ignores stealth. Some of its guns, when they hit...
Concealment can't watch stealth, so it's basically got eyeless sight.
Two of its guns, when they hit things, negate stealth as well. So if you're playing a stealth army, it's just removing stealth from the table. So
It is just lighting everything on fire, though.
Yeah, it's basically... the entire board is losing stealth.
It's got the AoEs that set stuff on fire, and it's got the non-AoEs that take away stealth, and it ignores stealth. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it would need to ignore stealth for the guns that get rid of stealth to be worth a damn.
Yeah. Very true, but it's ridiculous. I think it's a pretty solid kick-ass Jack.
Yeah, yeah, he's good. I don't see people run. I like the nipple flamethrower. Man, I thought their other colossal was good, but I don't see it taken as often as
I see it.
I see it. Generally, you see it in like fewer lists because yeah. You know, just the amount of AoE fires you can throw out. But
yeah,
then their temple guard solo,
flame guard solo.
He's weapon master, which is cool. Two attacks. He gets to make a third attack if he hits with one of his attacks. But I don't know if he's worth 3 points. He grants relentless.
He grants Pathfinder on the charge, which is nice. He can't be hurt if he's base-to-base with another Temple Flame Guard.
Oh, I missed that part of it.
Well, he does not suffer damage from non-magical melee or ranged attacks. So, most things can't hurt him while he's base-to-base with somebody.
That is nice. I didn't read that.
Yeah, so that'll help to deliver him. And then, beat back Weapon Master. Always sexy.
Yeah. No, that's cool. They not being able to get non-magic damage, I didn't know.
That's what makes him a three-pointer instead of a two-pointer.
That's exactly what does it.
An extra point of survivability.
Kador,
the faction none of us play. Zerkova, Obavnik. Thanks, Obavnik.
Our local Kador player, which we have lots of, but I refer to Jordan as that because he's special. I don't know. He thinks he is. He doesn't like Zerkova. I think he's wrong.
The thing he pointed out to me is he wished her feat worked like Haley 1, where during their activation, models got an extra magical attack instead of an immediate one.
Yeah.
Situationally, either could be better, I think.
It's basically like Madrak 2.
That's the thing.
That's all it is. It's
Madrak 2. She has Madrak 2s with magic instead of having Haley 1s with magic.
Correct.
And depending on the situation, one is better than the other.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you're jammed in and you want to kill things and then activate, or you want to run in and then attack, which is the Madrak 2 style.
Yeah. Yep.
Or sometimes neither of those is the case and you wish you could advance and then shoot twice, which is the Haley style.
I personally love, because when you can do out of activation stuff, you can really fuck up jam lists with that.
Out of activation is always good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Jordan's going to have to get jammed by somebody then feet and realize how amazing it is.
Yeah, I think it's great with especially with the Cav.
Yeah.
The Winterguard Cav or not Winterguard but the Colden Lord Cav.
I mean the army doesn't have a huge ton of magic attacks, so I mean I can see it's where it's not as amazing. I mean, obviously they're Cav just fucking rock stars with
their Cav rock
and they got a couple cool souls, but Ian, I mean they
and Holt.
Yeah. If there was an, or actually Ayana.
Yeah, Ayana with the, yeah.
Yeah, so there's some things there. But some, I mean, it's not like some factions that can go out of control.
Correct.
But it's, I think.
I'd have to go through and see if there's any weird abilities that are technically spells on some various other things.
Yeah, and I haven't, because I don't play the faction either, too, I thought about the same thing. I just didn't care enough. They got a bunch of jacks, too.
Yeah, a couple of character zerkers, but just different zerkers.
Yep.
Or you could, instead of Ayan and Holt, you could bring the dwarves and shoot out a bunch of the fire arrows.
Yep, that's one of the big things people are talking about.
Oh yeah, but no, yeah, the new berserkers. There's the mad.
Are they
dog.
Called berserkers or they have the berserker chassis? I thought
they're on the berserker chassis,
but they didn't have berserker in the name.
They
do not
have berserker in the name. So they have the unstable rule.
But I mean, but themes that say take berserkers and do stuff, they don't qualify for.
They would not qualify for that.
I don't think there's any Kador ones that say.
I thought there was some weird. There was one I thought because Jordan had an idea of making.
I could imagine like Karchevs or somebody.
There's one weird one, but maybe only one.
We can look into it.
Yeah, I filled out all the cards for them. So,
yeah. Well,
the Mad Dog. It has the worst ability ever. That's on the freebooter.
Spend a focus and get two.
Spend a focus, take a damage to your legs, and get plus two speed.
And then,
that's nice. But the issue is with the jury rigged, you can't use it just to run up the field because you risk just exploding. So you have to use it like on a turn that you're getting into things.
He's also, I think, 5 points.
He is only 5 points. I mean, that's the thing. He's the cost of a light. You know that you have to look at these as lights that are on medium bases.
Yeah.
And for a light, having two POW 14s and the ability to run or charge for free. Additional Dian trample attack rolls. I mean, he's solid for 5 points.
He is priced properly.
Yeah.
The other Jack is one that Ditto Jordan is buying five of.
Also runner charge for free, also unstable, has shield guard.
6 points.
And then a shield. So armor 20 with 31 boxes for 6 points.
Yeah, so Jordan's buying five of those for his Karchev list.
Yeah, that's pretty sexy.
With sidearms and that would be pretty sexy.
Well, plus people, that's the thing with Karchev is you shoot off his defenses and then you screw him and now you can't, Aeris can't take his focus off or whatever.
Right. Yeah, no, that's, for their points, they're really good. I mean, if they were actually heavies and cost like 8 points or something, that's not so much, but for five or six, fuck it.
Yeah.
Then there's Ruin, which you've all seen already. Amazing.
The only problem with the new unstable Zerkers is that you'll probably never see the original Zerker.
again, because the other two are just, I think, are almost superior.
What is he? He has stronger weapons, I think, though, right?
He's POW-16.
POW-16s, yeah. These are, one's got two 14s and one's got a 15 and a 12.
Yeah.
So the, and what is the other Berserker cost? Six?
Six. He's six.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's kind of like the Rager without the gun.
It's, they almost have like, he's only their at own... five? He might he's, be six. That's the
thing. No, I think he's a five. He's a five.
Still. So he's got stronger melee weapons. So, you know, you take the Rager, you lose shield guard and two armor, and you gain an extra six expected damage.
He does have bloodbath too, so if he hits something twice, so I guess it's not that bad.
Yeah, he's much more offensive.
Or no, it might. Hold on, I'm gonna look him up before I start speaking out of my ass more.
So no ruin, Victor. More fuck you flyers.
Not as effective though. I thought he does screw flyers a little bit, but not
a little. Yeah. Well, he actually kills them instead of just taking away flight. Because he, well, they're only POW 12s, but his side guns,
which are only rat 4, which that's,
well, they're rat 4 boosted is what it is.
Right, they're boosted against they're boosted against air.
This model gains additional, his auto cannon has flak fire, which says it gains an additional die on attack rolls against models with flight.
Oh, that is actually pretty.
So that's the thing, he shoots them down.
Berserker has got he's got chain attack brutality. So he's able to make a free headbutt against models. Sure.
Yeah. Nice. So he's got, you know, maybe three initials. He hits slightly harder. But to be fair, nobody really was taking Berserkers that much anyway. So saying that the new ones are going to make people not take Berserkers is not really a thing.
True, true. The fact that people are taking Berserker chassis after this will be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, from hearing the Kator players, they're saying they're still not going to take Berserkers. But I don't get it. I think
the Victor... Victor,
you might see Victor spam.
But. Well... He's big AoE gun. Both Kator Colossals have interesting AoE. They're five inch guns are both good.
Oh yeah, the Victor and the incendiary shot. Like, people are talking about two Victors with Harkovich breaking the game. Because you shoot out 4 5-inch fire templates per turn, and then you feet and can't get hurt, and then you punch everything to death with POW-22.
Is it a direct hit?
No. Nope. It's just a 5-inch, everything under it gets set on fire AoE. So you shoot out 4 of those, you kill all per turn, killing all the infantry. And then when they're non-infantry things that can survive fire get up to you, you just punch the fuck of them to death with two Colossals that have POW-22 fists.
If you can have enough points to keep you in the scenario long enough to get those Colossals forward, you're fine. You just got to get like something to like maneuver.
Right.
That's obviously the two Colossal problems you need to not lose by scenario.
Correct.
Yep.
So you got to just, you know, advance first, that.
First we get Mule, we put Mule gun on Colossal. Then we get Vanquisher, put Vanquisher gun on Colossal.
Yep,
now what's the next gun they're going to put on?
I don't know. Nemo's one, the tractor field one.
The tractor? Oh, the magnetic gun?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Now for the unplayable trash model of the book.
Denegra 3.
Awful, next.
You're sort of, trolling.
I am trolling.
I know you're having difficulty making lists with her, but I think that's just because the concept of bringing... It's such a different list. She doesn't go as crazy jack spam as Morton Ebra, but she doesn't also not bring any jacks like all your other casters.
Multiple casters in this book make you play your faction differently, and that is amazing.
Yeah.
Yep.
I just... God, fuck. She makes me want to pick Crix back up.
Yeah.
I just want to play Denny 3.
That's why I picked up another Brute Thrall.
Yeah, I am definitely going. I'm right now playing my minions, and I might go for minions. I'm probably going to do my minions. I may jump back into Crix, or I may go right to Scorn. I haven't decided yet. But I'm definitely going to be, at some point, I'm going to need to put some time into some Denny 3 lists.
She's got functionally infinite focus per turn. I mean, that's so good.
I'm so glad that she wasn't available, because I would have had to buy like 3 of them. because I had to get one for myself. I know Brian would have murdered me if I didn't bring one home for him. And then somebody else would have just probably...
Yeah, the ability to fuel your jacks with ease is ridiculous. And that just...
Yeah. Well, and so people are like... So the people are poo-pooing her. It's like, yeah, except because she's on a huge base and she's only 15, 16. Like, as soon as you don't camp all your focus, you die. And then I'm like, so camp all your focus. Why are you spending focus with her?
Yeah.
Like, ever. Like, all of your jacks have 3 focus a turn for free. She's a
fucking huge base.
She casts her spells for free.
She's what? A huge base with a defense 15.
Yeah.
Defense 15, huge base. What?
And she's armored 23 because she's camping 7 focus a turn.
Yeah. And if Dareth Race around living miles, they get close, they're going to be minus. She'll have 2 more armor.
And you can camp more than 7 focus with her because she has the standard Cull Soul ability, which turns souls into focus. So you can yank shit off. So, you know, like, I'll take 3 souls off of that model over there. I'm not even going to use it. I'm just going to have 10 focus next turn to camp. Yep. Why not?
Yeah.
It's fucking...
Yeah, the fact that souls turn... So you can use the souls immediately for things, and they turn into focus, and you can get more souls. You can be like, oh, turn 6, I have 5 million focus. Yeah. No, obviously not. It's she is going to be fun. Again, I think she plays differently.
Yeah.
But I think things like Leviathan and Harrowers are just going to be... I mean, you're going to have an insane jack.
Leviathans and Harrowers are going to be so sexy because you can fully fuel them. Well, the Harrowers can generate souls for her. And the Leviathans with focus are crazy. The Deathjack can get souls for if you wanted to. Nightmare with Gravewind on him is crazy.
Wraith Engines.
You know, and the new solo in this. Yep. I mean, there's so many soul options for her, but just the things she can
fuel. She's going to have a pretty... She's going to have kind of a small army in some ways. It's just a mess. You have to be really careful which jacks. You need to take a variety of jacks.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'd say. Like, Nightmare and a Harrower and a Leviathan seems a good battle group to her in my mind. And maybe an Arc Note.
And because
you
can fuel all the decks doesn't mean you should take 10. I mean, you're probably still taking 2 to 3 heavies. It's just they're always effective heavies every single
turn. That's what I'm saying. Like, Mortinebra, you run her with 8 jacks, you know, and that's what you do. You take no infantry, you just shove nothing but jacks out there. Denny, you like actually take the mixed arms army that you see on the covers of the books, where it's her and 3 heavies and a couple lights and 2 units.
Yep.
Yeah, I might literally just buy a Denny 3 army. She's so sexy.
I think you'll always have at least 2 heavies with her, no matter what. I think 2 heavies are guaranteed. You're either going 3 heavies and a very little bit lights, or 2 heavies and a good amount of lights.
Yeah.
Nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah. The two new Krixjacks are Barathrum.
I have some minor problems with Barathrum, but I think he's good overall.
He's kind of cool. Well, he costs 10 points.
He's 10 points.
And he's Terminus' special edition.
He's Terminus' special draw, special bond. He doesn't gain anything
no
with
affinity,
Terminus.
Unfortunately.
No affinity.
Dragunder. So Dragunder is sexy. He's got Dig In, so he's 17-17 against shooting, which is cool. The problem I have with Dragunder, it's not really a problem, it's just a would have been really nice, is that it only triggers on during his activation. Yeah. So it doesn't stack with countercharge.
Sure.
Countercharging and then doing Dragunder would have been super sexy.
And he's got Slayer boxes, right?
He does have Slayer boxes.
Yeah, so it's really hard.
He'll die in melee.
Yeah.
Like, die in a breeze.
Yeah.
That's why the countercharge Dragunder would be nice, because currently people can try to bait you out.
Yeah.
And if you countercharge them, then they kill you in melee.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think you'll have a role. I think even like someone like Mortinebra would want. I mean, there's certain. He has reach, right?
No. He does not. Oh, he does not have reach. He's a Slayer. He's got 2 talons and the tusks.
Yeah.
They're POW 17s and 12s.
I think he's a Seether, technically.
Maybe.
He's got the soul drive.
He's got the soul drive, yeah. Yep. So he's a Seether. He's got the 2 talons. Either way, he's got the 2 talons and tusks, like a standard.
The thing is, he's neat, but if Krix ever gets their inflictor, god damn it, you're going to just see so many inflictors everywhere. It'd be hard to fit them
in. I forgot the inflictors exist.
We literally have models.
They don't. That's the problem.
We had a War Machine book with inflictors. We had a Hordes book come out. A War Machine book out. We have models for the next Hordes book. And we still don't have the freaking inflictors from 3 books ago.
Remember that time Krix went a year with no new models?
We went more than a year. It was like 14. It was like some ridiculous like 14 months without a release.
I know partially the reason why is because they are rebuilding all of those. All the new jacks are under the new plastic kits.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So they're going to be like the kits for the TEP.
And they had to make them better, and I get that. It's just they happen to say, here's something that Scorn wants really, really badly. Now wait 17 months.
Yeah.
I remember back in the day, you would have a book for War Machine, and if a book came out in July, the previous 6 months would be the first half of the releases. July, the book hits, and the next 6 months are the rest of it.
Yep.
And they did a very good job of getting everything out of that. It was a 12 month cycle. Mm-hmm. 6 months before, 6 months after, and then that was it.
Yep.
And now it's like a 19-month cycle. Because every book has, you know, just there's always a couple models, and it's unfortunately consistently a thing that's happening. But they are changing plastics, and they had to. Because they just got in the plastics, and the original plastics were okay, but now they're getting better and better and better. Yep.
These Kator Pikemen are fucking amazing.
And the T, you know what, if this whole process ends up getting me Bane Knights plastic, like I said, when the minute Bane Knights go plastic, I'm buying 3 boxes of them. I mean, that's just a thing I'm doing.
Just
the Sepulchre.
Yes. Sorry.
No. Hopefully, once the plastic gets resolved, they'll get back to the more consistent release schedule.
That is a very interesting. It's kind of like the Kraken. It is very interesting.
Look at the
and
pikes.
I think it. Oh, nice. The pike. Yeah, the pikes and the pikemen are pretty slick for the plastic. The that's an interesting colossal. The fact that its swivel guns can shoot behind it's pretty cool. The fact that its guns are rate of fire two and not just like can shoot twice is kind of frustrating because if you want to shoot, your three focus doesn't get you very far.
Yeah, you don't like if they were just Acela spikers. Yeah. like the Axiom has.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yep.
That'd be nice.
It's difficult because I mean, all you can do is you basically if you're boosting everything to shoot them all, you're not boosting damage.
So
the Scar 2 is going to love her. I think she's going to like Scar 2, though.
The sad part about me is at Lock and Load, I didn't even have a real good chance to read through the book because I was trying to do other things. I was out eating or something.
And his primary gun is okay. He makes mecha thralls and stuff. I think he's an interesting Jack. He doesn't blow my mind. Like when I look at him, I think that's kind of cool. He's got some spots I can put him in, but it's not like I'm looking at a Hurricane. I'm like, holy fuck balls.
Yeah.
You know, but he's, you know.
That new solo is really sweet.
Got the
too.
Shrike.
The Shrike. Some people hate the Shrike, but I'm like, it's 4 points and it does ridiculous things.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, why would you hate the Shrike?
I don't know. People are like, the Shrike is the dumbest thing I've seen. It's just a hit and a miss. I'm like, I don't know. It's trampling 10 inches and doing insane things. And some lists, it's trampling 12 inches.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's Mat 7, 4 points, just trample it over a half dozen guys. And if it dies, it dies. But still, it's killing shit.
Yeah. And like, stuff with like P Scar, it's everything it hits is 16s. And it's got, you know, it's doing some pretty not big nonsense stuff.
And,
medium bases that can trample is always really cool.
So not only, it's a medium base that can trample. It can trample over everything, including other medium bases and large bases. It's defense 16, so it's not necessarily going to die after it finishes trampling. No. And when it tramples, it ignores free strikes. Totally. Not just all the stuff that went over. It ignores free strikes entirely. So you can trample out of melee any direction and just run over more shit.
Yep.
That's pretty sexy for 4 points.
Yeah, exactly.
4 points and a single focus.
Yeah, like running a half dozen of them under Mort Nebra with her boosted against Living or under Denny 3.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Yeah, all those trample attacks are boosted. Like, just...
Those and some of the Helldivers?
Victor's going to shoot it out of the sky, though.
Victor's going to shoot it out of the fucking sky. That is true. Yeah, it also doesn't trample as well against the Hurricane.
And then the ridiculous...
the Soul Trapper.
The Soul Trapper.
Sexy as hell. He's got the obvious synergy. He's in the same book as Denny 3. Duh.
You get two for a point?
Two for a point.
That's cricks for you.
Two for a point.
Wait, what?
Two for a point.
The Soul Trappers are 2 for 1?
Yeah, they're 2 for 1.
Oh, what the fuck?
2 Soul Trappers, 1 point. Field allowance, 3. So you can bring 6 of them for 3 points.
And they get how many souls? How many? 10 inches or 5 inches?
10 inches.
10 inches.
And it can have up to 3 at a time.
Yep.
So for 3 points, you can have, 18 souls out there for Denny to grab. And remember, she can grab as many. A lot of people mistakenly think she can only grab from one model a turn. She can grab from as many as she wants. And I think the idea of them powering up other stuff, like the Harrower, or not the Harrower, the Harrower, because the Harrower can take souls and use them.
Yep.
The Wither Shadow Combine.
Deathjack,
and he can heal with them.
Yep.
Or maybe not, no. I'd have to see if it's only when he gains a soul through his Cold Soul if he can heal.
So they can give souls out to anything?
They get to give souls out to anything that has Cold Soul, Body Count, Soul Collector, or Soul Taker, which is pretty much everything.
Everything in Crix, yeah.
Pretty much. But to me, I like the idea of filling up the Wither Shadow Combine and then having that unit charge like a Colossal, because they're weapon masters against Jax.
Yep.
And they can buy attacks with those souls. I mean, all of a sudden you have 12 weapon master attacks.
Wraith Engine fully powered up too.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty
sexy.
God damn it.
That's it for Crix. So far, I haven't found the model I don't like. Thyron, you played with Thyron.
I played with Thyron. Like him? I liked him.
He looks like the Guyver.
Another cast that plays completely different than his faction, right?
Yeah. His Onslaught is, I mean, that spell is amazing all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked Spell Piercer. Seems kind of interesting.
It's kind of interesting because so much of the faction is Mage Hunter anyway. So
yeah, yep.
But you know, it'll be redundant on those models, and it's amazing on the rest of the models.
Yeah, it makes it so halberdiers can actually be pretty nasty.
People were
regards.
Spoiling him as having a new version of Spell Piercer that was melee only, when in reality it's just that he has Spell Piercer, and you only care about it with your melee models.
Very true. Very true. Pretty much most of the range are already magical anyway.
Right.
He's
Storm Rager is a great spell. Assail, Pathfinder, and extra movement on your decks.
So I don't know if anybody saw my list.
Pathfinder, huh? It's just free charges. Yeah.
Yep. Free charges on the Jax. There's his feat is actually pretty sexy too.
Sidestep.
Sidestep and additional die on attack rolls. So yeah, I like him. I thought he's interesting. The fact that he's a medium base caster is a little bit, but
yeah, it's always troublesome, but it's still good.
Yep. His stat lines are pretty side. Electro, are you? No, you're at Helios.
I'm at right Moros.
Now. Oh, Moros. Okay.
Moros is good. He's been out for a while. Everybody knows he's great. Now we're on Helios.
Yep.
Some people hate Helios.
I don't.
Yeah. He's it's interesting having with Ossian, he's a defense 16 poltergeist colossal, which is hilarious to me.
Yeah. Defense 16 is hard to crack.
I was kind of not impressed with him because defense 16 is hard to crack, but his guns don't do damage, so like what's he doing while he's not dying? And then I noticed Virtuoso, and I had missed that the first time, and that what his guns are doing is pulling something 9 inches to him so he can punch it to death.
Yep. And also, he's also a good friend of Ron. I mean, he really helps with that whole fishy mechanic, too.
Yep.
I mean, I really like him. He's a neat little huge base Jack.
Yeah, no, he's good. He's interesting. It's like a support model that's huge base, which is kind of weird.
Correct. He's only 17, right?
He's only 17, so he's the cheapest colossal.
Yep.
He's immune to fire for some reason.
Yep. No, I mean, think about that.
Like, Ravagors can't shoot him.
Shoot him. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
Protectorate will have, yeah, I mean, there was so much fire on there, too. And
That's interesting. The Electromancers
are fucking amazing.
Energy Leak.
Energy.
Energy Leak is crazy.
Look at the third ability they can choose.
Yeah. Pulse Fire. That's really interesting. You hit something, it takes 3d3 damage rolls.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the first time that's ever been in the game. Yeah, it's almost like the weapon d3 attacks that you would have for Mark One guys.
It's like that, except then the second and third ones automatically hit.
Correct.
You know, it's D3 attacks with...
What was that ability called?
Was that Rapid Strike or something like that? I don't know. The Void Tracer. I didn't even look at him. Oh, yeah, he's kind of like... he protects your casters. When a model in the command range... So what's his command range? 5. So he models within 5. If you target him with spells, you take damage.
Speaking of command range, I have to go back. The one thing about...
Ryas and...
Not Ryas.
Chromac
has a really amazing ability that only works within 4 inches of him. I forget the name of the ability. He's got either a spell or something. It's like within 4 inches, you do like everything loses. Oh, sorry. But yeah, I forget. I just know because his command is 4, which is hilarious. He's got some ability where in command range...
Primal Howl. While on this model's command range, living enemy models suffer -2 their attack rolls, and living enemy model units suffer -2 command when making command checks. Yeah, that's pretty sexy.
It's just funny. It only affects... I mean, it's just a 4-inch thing. It's just a weird...
His command is 4.
Yeah, I mean, it's an amazing spell that has too short of a range.
Well, maybe they'll give him on a command 10 caster later.
Yeah, well, that, I mean...
Well, there'll be a new thing in spell draft.
Yeah.
Well, also...
True. I mean, it's a very powerful ability, so you can't make it, you know, too far.
I
want to
check two things. Well, here's the thing about it is that it's an upkeep, and he's an abomination. No, it's not an upkeep. Yeah.
How much does it cost?
3.
Yikes.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an abomination, so I guess, you know, you cast it and then you run in and scare the shit out of things. But, you know what's hilarious? It's cost 3. What's the command range on Megalith? What's the command range on the other guys that can cast cost 3 that have Geomancy?
Oh, but that's not a self?
Right. Well, it's range self.
You can't cast it.
They can't cast range self spells?
No.
Oh. Well, fine. Never mind then. much for that interesting idea.
I just remember that was like one complaint I saw, one sadness people had. And then there's a bunch of stuff. I guess there is one new Cephalix.
Yeah, which I hadn't seen what he looked. Oh, I had not seen the picture.
Yeah.
Look at that guy's face melting. Sucks to be that trencher.
I love how it's always Signar.
Yes, Signar.
Well, the original art was a
precursor knight.
No, that was that one. That was the.
But that used to be a precursor knight. And
yeah,
a sword knight.
Yeah, they used to be a precursor, which you can't cast spells on.
Right, right.
Do you know who got the new suffix one? Because I know there's a new one.
Who got the artwork?
Yeah,
no idea.
I was gonna throw out some bribes for people to get those, but it might be too much of a pain to get from there to where I was.
It would have been a pain to get them over.
I see Merc players that think Siphon is mid tier, and those people are dumb and wrong.
Those guys are dumb and wrong. He has Onslaught.
He has Onslaught, which is good. He has Perseverance, which is good. The Empathic Overload is neat. Mm-hmm. You just, you know, mm-hmm. run somebody in the middle of a unit and just go zap. Everybody takes POW 12s.
Yep.
Breath Stealer is one of my favorite spells.
Yep.
That spell just fucks people over.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
range 15 when he casts it.
Yeah.
Well, even then, if he can arc it through his beasts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they all arc as arc nodes.
No.
Yeah. That's what the monstrosities are.
Monstrosities all have arc nodes?
Yeah.
That was I thought that was a Thexon thing.
No, that's
is that an Exon?
I thought that was.
Yeah, that's a special thing Thexus has.
Okay.
Thexus uses them as arc nodes. Siphon instead can kill a Drudge to get +5 range.
Yep. Yep. Okay. But even at 15 on those spells is stupid awesome.
Yes. Yes, it is. Those are all good spells. His feet +3 speed, strength, and armor for his battle group.
Yeah, they take damage. They have to take 6 damage.
They take 6 damage. Taking 6 damage sucks, but being +3 speed, strength, and armor is really fucking good.
If you're winning the game or destroying your opponent's army, 6 damage is acceptable.
Yes. Yeah. Monstrosity takes 6 damage to destroy the world is a good trade-off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, he's really good.
Yeah, him and Wreckers are going to be wrecking shit.
And then the rest of those things are all old, and we've already seen them.
Need some of them.
The Swamp Gobber River Raiders. These guys suck.
They're amusing. They attack. I like the idea of hitting something, then dragging yourself to that something.
That's cool.
And then they get there, then they go, hi.
So
they get in the way.
They're advanced deploy. Cool. They're 3 for 2, so they're a decent price.
Yep.
It is a little annoying. They won't work in Pirate's Life, even though they're privateers, because they're not a unit. They're solos, and Pirate's Life allows Sea Dog units.
They have handguns. Mm. They actually have hand open, so Hawk actually tunes them up.
They benefit, but again, since they're not a unit, it's harder to, like, you can't coin them. You can't Rupert them.
Yep.
You know, they benefit from Hawk and Doc and, well, no, they won't benefit from Doc and Bosun because they're not tough.
Yeah,
that's annoying. So they don't benefit from that. They will benefit from a Hawk, like you said. The issue I have, they're hand weapons. So their obvious thing with weaken is you go in and you hit something and it gets -2 strength and defense. So they're only mat 5. So the defense thing's never going to come up because anything they're hitting is already defense garbage. And so really all they are is -2 strength, which is nice. But
because they work for Cricks, they will be having a lot of debuffs on their side, but then debuffing more isn't necessarily helpful.
That's
either.
What I mean. Anything they can hit is already debuffed enough that the rest of your army can hit it. Like, oh boy, I'm going to have trouble hitting this thing, so I'll make it easier by attacking it with a mat 5 model.
Yeah.
That's not a sentence that makes sense.
Correct.
You know, if they themselves were mat 6 or, you know, whatever, so that they were more likely to start that debuff chain, I'd like them a lot more. But as is, that debuff thing is not as good. I mean, all they are is they're going to reel themselves in, but it's only range 6, so walking and shooting is only slightly less distance than just charging something, and so they're just -2 strength on a stick. So if the gun was longer range or if they have higher mat, I would like them better. As is, I think they're interesting, and they're not going to get used much.
Yeah, unless some theme force is like, take 10 of them for free.
Well, sure, yeah. Oddly enough, they do work for Blind Water.
that is oddly enough, that is a proper,
is that a typo? Was that supposed to be on the croak card?
Yeah, they switched that up. They're like, can you imagine that? They look around, did we make a wrong turn? What's happening? Why are we here?
Circle, Scorn, Cricks, and Blind Water is who they'll work for.
That's a
It's about time Minions get some love from a War Machine book.
Yeah, well, this, see, they got those, which is why they get none of the Minions that are released in the next book. Because this is two of the Minion models in the next book don't work for Minions. Like, if it's Ofer, like, if it's just like they release six Minion models, none of which work for Minions, and then page seven is just a giant middle finger.
Just the whole section is... That's a symbol of their on the back of the card.
Well, here's you know what it is so Gremlin starts with a G, Croak starts with a C. We're gonna get enough releases so that it spells out "Go fuck yourself" if you take the first letter off of each model, and they're gonna put them in that order in the book.
Yeah,
that'd be great. The Siege Crawler, another Merc model that I hear people saying is terrible, and I want to punch those people in their throat.
Its crit effect is brutal.
It is rat 6. With two AoE 4 POW 15s that have crit stagger.
No, it's rat 8. Sorry.
Well, it's rat 8 if you artillerist it. It's rat 10 if it aims.
Yeah.
Like,
duh.
22, like, this thing's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Crit stagger is really a
crit stagger
thing.
Is really good. Yeah. It's got a D3 plus 1 range 10 POW 12s. What are those, military rifles? No, whatever. Yeah. Point is that, and then the fucking crit staggers. Like, holy moly.
And that's that thing's so book.
Good. And that's the book. So good. Oops, I broke stuff. Forces of Distinction, Scorn. Oh, yeah. Did you look at the Morgul theme force?
Yeah.
It's interesting. It does not give ambush to his battle group.
Or acrobatics to Morgul. he should have ambushing acrobatics. But he can appear anywhere on the board. That doesn't sound fair.
Well, you know, it is Morgul too.
The Force of Distinction book is kind of, it's kind of neat. I mean,
it's handy.
It has a lot of fluff in it, which is cool.
I like fluff.
So they reprinted all the articles from the No Quarters into one with two extra theme forces.
They got Morgul 2 and
a Fiora.
And a Fiora one. Oh, it actually does.
It's World of Flame, isn't it?
Yeah. It's right there. It makes Cinerators a little bit better.
Oh, yeah. I saw that one on the intertubes.
What does it do? Add to him? It gives defensive him a defensive line. Yep.
To help deliver him.
Well, and Scorn gets Whiplash as an added rule.
Which is on the
new Pain
on
Givers.
The guy. Well, not the new Pain Givers. The ones that nobody ever takes. I don't get why people don't take the ones that are Reach, Thresher, Anatomical Precision. They're like all units ever die and nobody ever fields them.
Yeah, Brian, why don't people feel those?
I feel them.
Oh.
I've never seen them.
Not lately.
Like, lately as in since they were released?
I played Morgul 2's old theme. I would play them.
I remember when I saw those models in the book when they were released, I saw, you know, they're like Mat 7, Reach, Thresher, Anatomical Precision, and like good. And I just thought that they were the second coming. Like, I'm like, oh my god, these things are amazing, and nobody ever uses them.
The second tier that your opponents don't have AD is hilarious.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, some armies are like, I don't care, but man, those armies that rely on AD,
yes,
no.
And you know, in a world of multi list, like that can be a big deal.
Be interesting to see that. No AD is. Yeah, I don't think it's like game breaking. It doesn't feel like force wall.
The cover is such a great fuck you to Crix players, though. It's like, here is Morgul doing an acrobatic stunt.
Scorn players, you mean?
Scorn, no, everyone. Fuck you to everybody.
Okay,
but mostly Scorn players. It's just like he's just doing this beautiful acrobatic thing.
Well, because he has acrobatics.
I know. It's just like it's hilarious.
It's funny because he doesn't.
It is. It's fine. It's a good picture.
Well, he's a master assassin, so he's really bad at.
That's how you kill things upside down. It's a way to do it. It's hilarious.
Lord
it's
good almighty. Stuff.
We're going late and I'm tired.
Yeah,
and
I don't think we even tweeted Appetite to Grumble, so we don't even have any questions.
Did not do that.
And I don't even have a recommendation.
I have a recommendation.
What?
If you go to conventions and you get really cool art, like canvas art and things, and they're prints you can't buy in the store, and if you like money, you should get a hold of me. Because I like to collect the arts that you can't normally buy. Because Private Depress prints off a lot of nice arts, and I love their canvas arts. So you have money. I have money. You like money. You have some art that you're like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this art. I want it, and it's cool, but it sits on a corner. I give you money. You give me prints. It's cool.
So good news.
Good news, everyone.
Good news is that they're restructuring like contracts and that for their prints, and they'll have prints readily available on their stores.
Well, then it's a limited time offer. You better hurry because those
Canvas prints will never be.
Available. So if you were, especially if you, because I have the Excellent Texas canvas print. So if you won the other one, the other caster, if I kept collecting all the Cephalix as canvas art,
that's for the cover for Undercity.
Oh, it's the Undercity one?
Yeah.
It's still, but I'm just saying.
Well, they have this picture available? Because that picture's the greatest picture.
That's my recommendation. Sell me your cool art that you can't buy.
I think so. I think basically all the prints that they have are...
I don't know that picture ever was a print. Oh, well.
You guys have none?
I don't really have
a recommendation. Play Heroes of the Storm.
I had a Nepali food on Friday, and it was really good.
Nepali? I don't know.
It's like Indian food.
Okay.
Oh, Nepal is near India.
I did go eat at a Thai place, so that was interesting. And then I also had, I believe, some Greek food. Yeah. I had a shawarma.
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 Shawarma is good.
I had one of those.
It's basically a gyro.
It's basically a burrito.
Yeah, which I mean, it's amazing how just shoving meat into a tortilla / pita / two slices of bread is a universal concept.
And so they were out of fries. I had to have hummus, so I had hummus for the first time as well.
Hummus is good.
Hummus was good. It was good. It wasn't something I would like.
Was it just plain hummus?
No, it was hummus with some other pepper stuff on it.
I like garlic hummus and stuff like that. It's just a dip.
Yeah,
it's just a dip.
You're a dip.
What? Okay.
I'm so tired.
We're done.
Done. Bye-bye, everybody.